Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. Think of a missionary that gives his entire life, decades, and maybe even his physical life, sacrificed on the field, on the foreign field. What kind of love to leave one's family, friends, church, air conditioning, clean food, clean water, to go spend their existence in a place that they could get sick any day of the week and die from the food or from the water, or maybe from violence or persecution. They go because certainly the Lord commanded, but another thing, they love the people they're ministering to. My point, when Jesus healed again and again and again in the Gospels, it was because of compassion, concern, and care. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two, and healed the sick that are therein. Again, flashy miracle, maybe, but compassion. Healing is part of the gospel. Healing is part of the Great Commission to preach the gospel and to pray for people to be healed. Part of the gospel, we read it right here. And again, it's a visible sign of God's compassion. If someone believes the gospel and is saved and lives 50 more years and then dies, he has to wait 50 years to see for real if this thing was true. But if the missionary goes into the town and into the little mud hut and lays hands on some grandma, and the grandma is healed of gout or something, diabetes, then they know right there, then and there, that the kingdom of God is come unto you. They know, because now I can walk or what have you, that, hey, God really loves me. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'd like to flip to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 11. Now this is an interesting passage, and it's not limited to just this one chapter. It's a story that takes a few chapters to bear out, and I don't have time to go through it. But essentially Moses, he's in the desert with the children of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. And he's trying to lead them. He's trying to pastor them. He had just, by the power of God, delivered from Egyptian bondage his brothers. The great miracle of the Passover event. By the shedding of the blood of the Lamb, Moses 10 times before had said, "Let my people go," but when the lamb's blood was shed, and the blood collected and put on the doorpost and lintel of the houses, that midnight the death angel came. And again, we've all seen the movie The Ten Commandments. It's reasonably accurate. The death angel went into each house and killed the firstborn as judgment against Egypt, against Pharaoh. But if the death angel saw the blood on the doorpost and lintel, he passed over that house. And he said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will pass over you." That's where we get the Passover. the Jewish celebration, which the Jews, even this week, or I think next week or something, they're going to celebrate as I record this. But Moses said in verse 14, struggling to be a pastor to 3.5 million people, I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. And in verse 16, and the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And in verse 24 it says, and Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it to the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. This is a picture of the day of Pentecost. We say that these things in the Old Testament that foreshadow the New Testament or some event therein, we say that this is a type. The Greek word tupos, I've spoken on this before. Something in the Old Testament that foreshadows something in the New Testament, that's the definition of type in Webster's dictionary. And again, it's directly from the Greek tupos. But this event in the Old Testament, thousands of years before the day of Pentecost, is a foreshadow of that great day, the day of Pentecost. You've got Moses. He's the deliverer. We understand that Christ is the deliverer. He's the one that delivered us from our sins. Moses delivered his people from Egyptian bondage. Christ delivers us from sin. Jesus preached everywhere he could, in all the different towns in Galilee, what have you. But he could not, in his lifetime, go to Africa, go to Japan. But he empowered us by the Spirit, calling his disciples, and again, we today, as believers, are his disciples. He called us to fulfill the Great Commission. Just as we read in Luke chapter 9 and chapter 10, the Lord calling and sending and anointing. And anointing with the power from on high, the Holy Spirit. Again, the word anoint means to smear on. We're empowered from heaven by the Holy Spirit. We're smeared on by the Holy Spirit. And again, it's to win lost souls, as Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says. But it says in verse 25 here, and the Lord came down in a cloud, and he spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it to the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, the 70, they prophesied and did not cease. Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost and empowered the church, it says that the Spirit of God came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and cloven tongues as of fire sat upon each of the disciples, and they were empowered by the Spirit to speak in other tongues, in other languages. And I've probably last week given the significance of that, that all the different people, all the Jews that had gathered for the feast, they were from Libya and Cyrene and all these different places. They came to hear, they didn't know it, but they ended up coming to hear the preaching of the gospel. Again, this event in the Old Testament foreshadows the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But I'd like to draw your attention to the fact that these elders of Israel, the ones that were going to assist Moses in administering the various laws or judging between the people or teaching the people, those elders of Israel appointed to help Moses, there were 70 of them. In Luke, we read in chapter 10, he called 70 others also. Again, one more facet of this story from the Old Testament that foreshadows something we find in the New Testament. But it goes on. In verse 26, after they prophesied and did not cease, but there remained two men in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but they went not out to the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. God said, and Moses said, gather the people to me, let's go to the tabernacle. These two were late. I have no idea why they were late. They got the word late. They couldn't find their shoes or, I don't know, something. They were late. They didn't make it. They were still in the camp, the main body of the camp of the children of Israel. But they, it says, were of them that were written. They were the ones that were called. And God honored that call. But it says that back in the camp, they prophesied in the camp. And it says there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men answered and said, my Lord Moses, forbid them. Make them stop. They weren't at the tabernacle. I know they were called, but they weren't at the tabernacle. You got to stop them. They're out there in the camp prophesying. And Moses is answered. And the Lord said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. That's Moses' wish. I know we have the 70 elders, the assistant pastors or whatever. But Moses is saying, I wish that every one of God's people were full of the Spirit and could prophesy. In New Testament parlance, I believe God is saying that I wish that every one of my children, his children, could prophesy and speak in tongues. And not that the speaking in tongues is the point, but that the Spirit of God would rest upon them and help them to be better Christians. Help them to understand the Word. Help them to minister, again, across the street or to someone in Sunday school or something. That God would put His Spirit upon each one of them, that they could do the work of God. But turning quickly back to Luke chapter 9, we read of the 70, and then we also read of the 12 disciples, where Christ called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. But it's interesting, later on in the chapter, in verse 49, and John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followed not with us. And Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. Just like Eldad and Medad, they were in the wrong place, prophesying and telling of the wonderful things that God had done for his people. John, in the journeys that he went on, He was sent by the Lord to go preach in these different towns. They found somebody casting out demons in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he didn't want to follow with Peter and John and the others, they told him to stop. Just like Joshua said, "Moses, make him stop." And very similar to Moses' reply, "And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us." I love studying the types. I love going through the Old Testament and finding little nuggets of truth and wonder, I believe. Something in the Old Testament that, hey, I found this in the Old Testament in the book of 2 Kings, and if you go to Matthew, wow, there it is. One more evidence that the Bible is true. These prophecies in picture form. Praise God. Praise God.
That precious blood that flows from Calvary can make the sinner holy. Come wash me clean till every part of me is yours, Lord, and yours only. It's been so long.
hopes come tumbling down. If you're counting on your faith and you need more than you've got, just ask the Lord to help you. He is able when you're not. Call upon the name of the Lord and He will answer you. Trust Him to do what He says, for He knows you by heart. Call upon the power of His name, His strength will comfort you, and He'll always be there to answer your prayer. You can call on Him, call upon the name of the Lord. If you're looking for direction and the way is hard to find, if you're
in the God of my salvation, there is fullness overflowing from the source of liberation. Such grace my mind dare not conceive, His mercy poured out full and free. Eternal life I hoped would be has now become reality.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.